Here we are in the wonderful D Hotel in Drogheda, and we have to mention them a few times during this podcast because the wonderful people at the D Hotel have given us some wonderful space to record today. I'm with Lisa Haig. Hello.
Hi, Brian. We're in the Murphy Room.
The M is for Murphy, not music.
Music today.
Music today. I'm with you. You've got a new album out, which we will talk about and listen to some songs from. And it's been a while, maybe a year and a half, since we spoke with you. We had you on the podcast with your first album, and you've carried on and made a wonderful second album. How have you been since we last talked?
Oh, grand. I'm tickled pink, thrilled to death that I got to do this next one. I guess the main thing as far as my career, I did release the first CD, Tree Over Sea, in the United States. I did a college radio campaign and was happy to get 155 ads to radio stations, and I think it made it to something like number 13 on the CMJ charts. So that gave me some affirmation, and so I've been writing and got to make this next one.
So let's talk about this. What is it called?
It's called Wind Under Wood.
And that sounds familiar in naming structure to your first album, which was Tree Over Sea.
Yep, I'm up to something. My my master plan is to do a weaving kind of thing, where that one was called Tree Over Sea, this one's called Wind Under Wood. So guess what? The next one will be something over something. And where I get the blanks is that their references, if anyone has my CDs, in the booklets, I pair each song with an I Ching equivalent, the I Ching being this ancient, possibly 7,000-year-old book of wisdom. And some people use it in kind of a, you could say fortune-telling, but it's more of a self-consulting kind of way. It's really a book of that's been, because it's so many people have worked on it, Confucius, etc., over the years, that it's really a book of wisdom. And the way it works is that you start with you start with the masculine and the feminine. It's all about opposites. So you start with the yin and the yang. And then you take three lines, and they're made up of either, you know, different ratios of yin and yang. You know, like it could be sky is three lines of yang, and earth is three lines of yin. And there are eight possibilities there. So you have eight elements. And the eight elements being sky, tree or wind, water, mountain, earth, thunder, fire, lake. And then you take, if you take two trigrams, you get a hexagram, and that's what you look up in the book and see what the meaning. So my new one, Wind Under Wood, or really it's tree, you could call it tree over tree or wind over wind. You have a lot of ways, things that you can call it. But in essence, it's hexagram number 57, which is, you could think of it like the image of a grove of trees or the wind, but it symbolizes kind of two levels, something that's strong but gentle. It's persistent but flexible. You know, one of the quotes is, with a flexible mind, you have great advantage. So something that triumphs in that kind of way.
It sounds almost computer programming type of stuff, 64-bit system that was worked out thousands of years ago.
Some people think of it like there are books that are very complicated. They think of it as kind of the first computer, or people have compared it to our DNA. But it's amazing. You know, maybe it's kind of like a Rorschach test, but if you ask a question, and it's a kind of a way of calming yourself anyway, and then there are different ways of coming up with a hexagram, or, you know, asking the question and doing that, formulating and getting the answer, and then you look up the hexagram, you'll pick out what you need to know from that.
Have you worked out a way to kind of transpose that into music then? To the songs, or to the artist who makes the songs, or what way does it link to the music?
Well, I know for this one that I knew when I had my central theme song, which is on this CD, it's the fourth one, which is called Which Wind. And It's about which wind blows in me, you know, north, south, east, or west. And I talk about, I kind of personify the eastern wind or the western wind. And the cover has like the four seasons or the four directions. And so, and it's hexagram number 57. So each of the songs, it always turns out that I can pick one hexagram that kind of nails what that song's about. But I don't necessarily write from the I Ching or anything like that.
We'll come back and talk about the wonderful cover, which radio podcast will not do it justice, and digital download would never do it justice, but we'll talk more about the cover later. Let's jump into a song, and what have you got for us first?
I'd like to play a song called Fisherman's Tear, and it's sort of my underwater Sleeping Beauty song. It's about, I got it from, there's a longer Inuit tale, this was taken by from that. I'm a starving skeleton under sea, waiting like a sunken chest patiently. Somersaults in sand for a thousand years. I will be revived by a fisherman's tear. I have taken many hooks to the top. See the tangled mess they have caught. Overboard I go, 'cause I cause them fear. I will know it's you by the fisherman's tear. So slow, so slowly you'll reach out. Swiftly I'll fill out with love and fun. We will sleep in fishing nets beneath the moon, dance upon the wooden decks of your ballroom. I won't need champagne.
And that's Fisherman's Tear. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Where does that come from? Is that like a continuation from songs on the first album, in fact?
No, it's a new one. For Christmas, it actually says here, I want to get her name right. It's Clarissa Pinkola Estes, but that's a long thing to spit out. She wrote a book called Women Who Run With the Wolves, and it's fantastic. And she tells this Inuit story about the woman who was dumped over the edge and has been kind of turning turning the somersaults under the sea, been waiting for the right person. And, you know, it's up to you how you interpret it, but I think, you know, it's about someone who will be vulnerable, you know, for you and understand you and empathic, and that's what its tear said to me.
While no song by any artist is ever meaningless, there's always deep dimensions to what you put into songs. There's always something mysterious about it. We're going to talk about your track 3 on your second album. There's something behind this song.
My friend told me to be sure, and one of my yoga buddies, I said, what should I talk about on the podcast? She says, oh, you got to tell them the secret to track number three. So track number three is called Pure as the Driven Snow, and you'll only get this little, this incredible tidbit if you listen to this podcast. So I was in a songwriting workshop, and the way this song came about is that we had an assignment, and our assignment was to write a song about sex. And the teacher said, now, I do not mean and will not accept love songs. I want a sex about, I mean, a song about the actual act, having sex. And so the attendance at the next songwriting seminar was fantastic. We were all there. And that's what number three, Pure as the Driven Snow, is all about.
And it wouldn't be obvious that that's what it's about.
My friend got it. Okay. On the CD, I put down that it was about Queen Maeve and her husband, which is also true, because anyone who knows me knows that I think Queen Maeve is very cool. So it's also about, there's a layer about that passion, experienced, feisty, opinionated, strong women are worth it. That's what she's telling him, that he can't actually help it. They're made for each other, and he can run all he wants and look for younger, easier people. But but where it really came from was this assignment.
Let's check it out.
His name is Adam. He wants a wife to lay below him and give him life. This is less than half. I will be much more than that. My name is Lilith, his chosen one. I am a bird who flies near the sun. When he rides my wing, I will explain everything. Spring, sun, snow. Streams start to flow. He is a glacier. I'm a river below. We make an ocean pure as the driven. Just a girl who doesn't know the ways of the world. Eve believes it when he tells her that winter won't end. Spring, the sun melts the snow. Stream.
Song about sex. Okay. You are prone to writing songs of this order.
Well, I'm told, I'll tell you what my very best compliment that I've ever received.
And how did you get this compliment?
And I didn't know the compliment was such a great compliment at the time. Well, I was playing, and a woman came up and wanted me to sign a CD. And she says, so she was at a gig, and she said, "I just want to let you know that your songs are, it's fantastic writing music." Now, I hadn't been in Ireland, obviously, long enough.
Writing music.
Writing. Like
writing. Okay,
writing. R-I-D-I-N-G.
So and what do you think?
I didn't really think. I sort of thought, writing music, okay. I just said, thank you very much, signed her CD, and I think I stored it away in my mind. And I was thinking, well, does she mean, later on, I brought it back up, and I thought, did she mean like it's good for long-distance journeys in the car or like your iPod when you're on a horse? And so I mentioned this to someone. I said, you know, someone said that my music is really good writing music, and they burst into hysterics, and they said, Lisa. And I said, well, how come they just didn't say sex music? So I have been told that you need wine, and it creates a certain atmosphere. And that's the best compliment I've ever gotten.
It does have that kind of rhythm, now very slow rhythm, but it's a sort of the metronome sort of constant rhythm going on in the songs, no? This would be the first album their impressions would have made them think this.
I think maybe because you find it, I like to find a groove. I think the groove is the most important thing. So, and maybe it's kind of circular, you know, and it comes back and...
circle groove.
Or spiral or something like that.
So more Royden music, as they say in Dublin. let's try something from this wonderful guitar banjo thing.
This is my Deering...
remind me, banjos have how many strings?
Banjo guitar. Well, I think the typical one has five. This is a banjo guitar, so it's guitar neck stuck on the big, round, super heavy... banjo body. And the reason I have that is because then I can I still use it to put in different tunings, and I can use my left hand as I would on a guitar, and then just pick it like a banjo. Or
do you play ukulele?
I want a ukulele so badly. Jerry O'Byrne, do you know him? He's from Dublin. He's a fantastic guitarist, and he has the most, I mean, I cry when I hear his songs on ukulele. And I've been to Hawaii many times, and I wish I had purchased one when I've been there.
It's going through a phase at the moment of massive popularity in pop music, and it's just passed its 150th birthday. About two Saturdays ago, they celebrated it from the moment it touched the shores of Hawaii, from where it came from, Portugal. It's 150 years, or is it 130? Oh, I'll have to check that fact.
Well, I'd love to get my hands on one of those four-string little guys. I have a mandolin. I play that on the CD.
We're going to do a little microphone setup here, and we'll be straight into... what's this next one called?
It's called Old Enough to Know.
Steal why they lie. He I'll tell him when he's old enough to know. He thinks he's remembered his only child. He rakes up the leaves and jumps in the pile, lives in the clouds, but still needs a stool to reach the sea.
To know, we're with Lisa Hake. We're recording in the D Hotel in Drogheda. In the music room today. And that's for anyone listening internationally, that's on the east coast of Ireland, somewhere between Dublin and Dundalk. There you go. Just on the Boyne. And actually, as I speak, look behind you. Over the very tall viaduct, probably one of the tallest viaducts in Ireland, goes the Arrow train. Winging its way to, it's coming out of Drogheda, it's going to Gormanstown or somewhere.
And the other thing that if you're not from here that I think of is that I really feel whenever I'm in Drogheda and the Brúna Boyne is that we're very in the whole megalithic structure. I mean, we're between Fornax and Siding, you know, the islands off of Skerries, and where Newgrange is and Noth and Douth, and, you know, up that way is Loch Crewe. And so we're in that whole megalithic building zone.
Yeah, we're in the Boyne Valley almost, yes. And well, nearly. Well, yes, because we're at the mouth here at the port and the docks.
So it's a special place.
It absolutely is. But might I just add that we're also looking out on a half-finished hotel. I can see the 20...
ruin it.
Yeah, I can see the 20 mil rusting reinforcement bars from the concrete rising into the sky, and it is a symbol of Ireland's stalled economy. But less about that, more about this wonderful CD, Wind Under Wood. You do all the art direction yourself, and how many pages is in this booklet?
It's a whopping 16-page booklet.
I said earlier that podcast, radio, and digital download will not do justice to the artwork on this. It is amazing. Look at the front of this. Now, you may just look to the show notes of the podcast and look for a link to the artwork on this, because you can turn it through 360 degrees. There's something going on here. Who's the artist on this front cover?
His name is, he's a Polish artist, and his name is Jacek Jurka, and he describes himself as a surrealistic or fantasy land painter. And I love the idea that it had the four directions, and that, you know, the CDs spin and you spin this and you go through the different seasons and settings.
I've just
and
noticed
all the colors.
Is that the little
and then there are little surprises inside
the teddy bear is inside a gazebo.
Yeah, and the seahorses, and it's a little bit Dali-esque or a Magritte like But I love his work, and I love all the colors. And then the booklet cycles through the colors of the spectrum, so the red, orange, yellow, blue.
And you work with Polish artists, but you have it designed in Dublin, is it? Or
Room 3 Design, they did my first CD, and they did this one. And I think it's Natanya there was very hopeful. I think it's very pretty.
it is, and as I say, it won't be done justice here today describing it, but you got to hold it. And if you are at a concert of Lisa's, get down the back at the end, because you sell your CDs, and it's good to not just have a digital download, but to hold this.
And wonderful. On my website, you can you can scroll through the booklets of both Tree Over Sea and Wind Under Wood and see the album covers.
Wonderful.
That's at www.lisahake.com.
About the recording of the second album, the first album was in Pulse, I believe.
Yes.
And it was an ensemble of available musicians that the studio had. This time around, completely different approach.
Well, in that setting, I had been coming from my job in the States, and I had saved for a few years, and I came over, and the challenge and the excitement there was working with a fantastic young producer, and her name Alvin Sweeney, and we had the same vision, and it was, you know, a live band, and we just, you know, I kind of felt like I was floating on a magic carpet, you know, they're playing my music, and so that was fantastic. And what happened this time is that, you know, so in a couple years passed, and like anyone who was a songwriting addict like myself, you start accumulating them, and you need to put them down, put them away, so that you can go on to the next thing. And so I was just feeling stuffed with songs. I really, 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 really wanted to do a CD, but really didn't have a lot of funding. And I was just thinking, couldn't think of how in the world I was going to do it. And I was feeling a little bit down. And I went to see the magnificent bassist who played on my first CD. His name's James Blennerhassett. He was playing, he plays bass for Mary Black, and he was playing at the Fairways. So I went up to him afterwards and was talking to him. And he said, "Well, Lisa, how are you doing?" And I, you know, instead of just saying, "Oh, I'm grand," I said, "Well, I'm kind of down. You know, I want to do a CD, and I got these songs." He says, "Oh, come over to my house. We'll record them." I don't know if he
just
meant
like
for
that.
Me. He just like that. And all of a sudden, I'm like the happiest girl in the world. So little does he know that, like, probably the next day, knowing me, I send him off, you know, something like 20 or 30 songs and say, "Okay, when?" And so he lives over in absolutely magical place in the Midlands, near Ballyfarnan. But he lives on a mountaintop, and it's absolutely gorgeous. And in the midst of nowhere, he has this magnificent studio. So it was just he and I recording. So I'd be sitting there playing and singing, and he's playing double bass. And it's that, you know, that intimate, that's all it is. And James's philosophy, the challenge here was that he is such a magnificent musician that he wants things to be, you know, take risks and be edgy. And so there's no such thing as a drop-in. He's not going for that kind of perfection. He's going for the perfection, which is the moment. So I'd say, "Oh, well, you know, my string kind of buzzed or did this, and can I drop in here?" "Nope, that'll ruin it." Or I'll say, "Okay, James, can we play it again?" "Nope, we got it that time. I can't do what I did just then again." So it was that, you know, some things were the first take, but nothing was more than, "Oh, I can't imagine him playing something five times." It would just get, he'd go on autopilot, and it wouldn't be what he was looking for. It wouldn't be.
And would you have tinkered with it much in post-production then, or is it as real as that sounded?
Pretty much. Now, he did mix it and master it as well. And he turned out to be like a one-man band. So when we wanted to put, you know, it's not just a bass at the root of it all. It's acoustic guitar and double bass. I describe it as surrealistic story songs involving tarot cards, worry dolls, and the theory of relativity. Hypnotic acoustic guitar paired with sexy double bass. Nick Drake reincarnated as a woman this time around. That's my little sound bit. But James is so talented in the studio. You know, if he wanted keyboards, then he played them. That needs a recorder. He'd play the recorder. Oh, that needs a bit of cello. Or that, you know, so the other stuff is, I'm just guitar, the banjo, guitar, and mandolin. Everything else is James.
And the vocals. Are the vocals more, you know, front row this time than the last time?
Yes, they're much more up front. And Alvin Sweeney does some backing vocals, I think, on about 7 of the tunes. And then I think maybe 5 tracks, we had a terrific drummer named Liam Bradley play drums. So
wonderful. Yes, some familiar names from the business there.
But it's more organic and intimate, and I don't know. You just have to see. But it was equally fantastic recording experience.
Let's take another track from the album "Wind Underwood," and what would we like to play this time?
A song called "Worry Doll," and should I tell you a little bit about how I came to write "Worry Doll"?
Yes, please.
Okay. And, this time I was in a yoga class, and it was near Christmas, and our teacher said, "And everyone, you know, for a Christmas present, you know, reach into this bag and I have a present for you." And it was a little wrapped up thing, and I open it up, and it's this tiny doll in, you've probably seen one before. She has like really vibrant fabric, and she comes in either like a little it's a drawstring bag or a tiny little wooden box, and it comes with instructions that you are supposed to tell her your worries and then tuck her under your pillow. She's a bit like the tooth fairy, and then at night she'll take them away. And I read this, and I'm sitting here on my yoga mat, and I'm going, oh my God, where is my songwriting notebook? This is a song. Boom. So, because I just felt like, well, that's how I should be as a partner in a relationship. Yeah.
Doll. So where is Worry Doll today? Is it at home, isn't it?
Oh, she herself?
Yeah, she got a bunk bed or something.
She has a very special place. Oh. I have a one of those old roll top desks with all the little compartments. You can tell by the cover and things. I love I'm kind of a detail cluttery person. On the one side I like detail, but I also like detail. So I in all the different little I have all the different little drawers, and they're labeled, you know, there might be pencils or pens, but then there's one, I think she's in the drawer that says love, and so she's there on my desk.
She has a little place to be. So the album is in your hands. It's back from the duplication place. It's effectively out and available. You can buy it online.
It is. It's it was came off the press, so I think its official birth date was in June, which makes it a Cancer, a water baby. Was it July? Yeah, June. But then it took me a little while to get my website going and my MySpace and the CD available on iTunes and on iTunes and CD Baby, which is now available on. So.
So no excuse. You can go to your iTunes now if you have to, and you can download this wonderful album, and I'd say get the whole thing because there's some gems in there and some surprises. Don't go for just the couple of tracks you heard on this particular podcast, but I'd say get the whole lot. Can you get the whole thing, you know, in plastic as well? How can you?
You can order it from CD Baby, and they send it out.
And at what sort of price are we talking about?
They have it in dollars, so it's $14.99 in dollars. So whatever that equivalent is.
Plus postage or including postage or something?
I think it's including.
Very nice. Very nice. So it's out. Have you got a gig to kind of launch it with or anything coming up?
I'm going to be playing the Spirit Store on September 22nd, and that's going to be kind of my launch. And let's see, I'm playing Sligo Live, and then I'm going to do a little tour with a Canadian songstress that's coming over. Her name is Annabelle Chovstick, and that's in November. And hopefully some more stuff.
Wonderful. It was great to come back and record some more songs. I'm going to have a field day editing them down because they're just wonderful to hear. Many thanks for having us record you. Can we just once again thank the D Hotel in Drogheda? They're at thedhotel.com and they gave us wonderful space here today to record in. And we're calling it the music room, the M.
There we go. Yes, thank you. And thank you for listening.
Take care.